All right, Phil Scharf. This is Ragas on saxophone, the Busan Parchurit on tabla, and the song is Kadri Dun, wonderful. And Chris Earl is here for the time travel. And I just want to quick tell you that Big Brother and Big Sisters volunteer. They would love to have you volunteer and rediscover the kid in you. Being a big means simply sharing a little time with one great kid. You can call 888-412-BIGS or visit online at Big Brother, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, all one word, .org. There you go. You get free tickets to things, too. Aha! See you on the radio. Don't be late.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
Evolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright. Right. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait.
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright.
WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's time travel with Chris Earl here with you from 5 to 7 p.m. every Wednesday night here on WMFO 91.5 FM. You can listen live on the iTunes, the Windows Media, your SoundCloud, your Spotify maybe, who knows. Well, if you're listening to it now, you already made it. Good for you. WMFO.org on the internet. It's Time Travel with Chris Searle is the group on Facebook. The number is 855-915-WMFO. Time Travel is here with you every week from Wednesday, 5 to 7 p.m. My name is Chris Searle, going into its 10th year. Time Travel, 855-915-WMFO. Thanks. Start the show.
Few minutes are in the lap of the gods and the hands of the Beatles. In my young days, when I was a lad, they used to have actors in films and that.
Yes. Now they... Hey, listen.
It's all changed now, all Brian. Changed,
well, this though. Is what
They're
I wondered.
They're not doing that. No actors.
In those days, the actors used to say their best bits were left on the cutting room floor. Did you find that?
No. No, those are the good bits in the film. You should have seen the rest.
Yes.
Rubbish.
Was it really?
Even worse, yes.
Who was worse?
Oh, Paul.
I see.
I think John was about the worst.
No, it was you.
Oh, Ringo was very good. He's a good lad, yes.
They're saying he's a new Charlie Chaplin. Do you think that's right?
He's an old one. Okay, Ring.
Beginning to look like it.
Can you hear him?
Not really. I hope not.
We brought the flowers, Ring.
Not allowed to talk.
We brought you the flowers.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And the grapes.
Oh, I like grapes.
He likes grapes.
You need to pause. Well, here we are then.
Guess who's top of the pops in Portugal then?
Who?
Os Beatles.
Os Beatles.
Ridiculous.
Os Beatles.
Well, I don't suppose you know the title of your film in Portuguese.
No, Kringst die Night.
Could be. Let's hear the number, shall we?
Right.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard
We did that. We've done that bit.
The train comes in now.
We did that to prove that we weren't playing the record then, you see.
Yeah, we did
because
that.
Otherwise there's no point in your being like here, it, is there? Critical lot of fellas there, aren't you? Here, Ringo, have a banana. Catch.
Oh,
WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. You're listening to Time Travel with Chris Earle, here with you to 7 p.m. We're doing the Beatles today, and I asked Joyce the Voice to stick around because she has an excellent, excellent Beatles story for us, or at least one of the Beatles.
Yeah.
You mentioned this story to me before, and I said, you got to stick around and tell this story because it's great. So why don't you tell me who you met, when it was, and what happened?
So this was in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in London, and I went to the Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking along the boardwalk, and all of a sudden, I'm next to John and Yoko. And it was like the strangest thing. It was like, what do you say? Hello, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And like within 2 seconds, all of a sudden, the Power Posse were all over us. They were like swarming like bees.
Yep.
And we all ran into this lower level. And there I am with John, Yoko, and their road manager and a couple of other people in their entourage. It's very strange.
And you got a chance to chat with them?
Yeah. I spoke to the road manager, and I actually got a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
For John, which was like totally amazing. Not for myself, but it turns out that later on I was able to connect somebody else to him through that encounter. But it was very fast.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost like this bleep across the sky, you know. But it was exciting. There was certainly a charge of energy to it. There's something about being around people who are so recognizable, so famous,
right.
So seminal,
yeah.
That it just, you know, it shocks through your system. It's like, oh my God, I've touched the heavens somehow,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, yeah, it was, I mean, during that time at the Cannes Festival, I met a number of very, very well-known people. And, of course, they were, you know, the rock stars. I also met Keith Richards.
Oh, nice.
And Anita Pallenberg. And ended up going to a party that was Mick Jagger's younger son, Chris Jagger, was
uh-huh.
there. I couldn't get into the party. I mean, I had no way to, and I just pushed and pushed and pushed at the door guy.
Yeah.
And he finally relented and let me in. I'd gone to this bookstore, and the film director, whose film was being shown there, the one who, he's been hounded because of having been with somebody who was, you know, below age.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of his name now.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was there mm-hmm. at this bookstore mm-hmm. that I went into. And I don't know, I started to talk to him. I was trying to figure out how I could get into this party.
Roman Polanski?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Roman Polanski. Right.
Geez, so you met a Beatle, a Stone, and Roman Polanski all at Cannes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah. So... Let's see. So anyway, I ended up getting into this this party. It was, let's see, Anita Pallenberg was there, and she was something else. She was mm-hmm. dressed with this sort of leopard skin, practically nothing there. And I remember walking with Keith and Anita, and they were carrying their son, Marlon. And Keith invited me to come to their place at Cape Ferrat.
Wow.
And I was scared to death because the information had come out about the parties and how it was like nuts.
Yeah.
And I just thought, no way, I would die.
And this was 1970? 70. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 1970.
Yeah.
So
So they were like right in the heyday of the party, and they're all like in their late 20s and their, you know, early 30s, maybe tops, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then there was a very famous Claude Malle, now he was the business manager. No, wait. Le Souffle au Coeur was the film, and Claude Malle, he was the director.
Mm-hmm.
He was, so there was this party that was with all these like directors and film people and actors and blah, blah, blah. And it was late and I was just wandering around Cannes. I was wearing this very cool dress and I had a flower in my hair and I was fresh as a daisy and everybody else was like stoned and drunk out of their brains.
Right.
And I sashay into this party. No one but I was just nuts. I didn't care where I went. And I managed to sort of get connected up with everybody and I went back after the party with Claude Moll to his hotel room, but he wanted to be intimate and I didn't because I was like, no, I'm not going to be another hitch on your belt.
Right, right.
And he thought I was just a stupid little fool, which I probably was. But so, you know, he said, well, if you don't want to, then fine, you know.
And,
you know, it was one of those. I can't believe it. I mean, I haven't talked about this stuff in years, but his business manager, Claude Nadja, Louis Malle, that's what it was. Louis Malle is the director. And Claude Nadja was his business manager. And he saw me the next day. I was trying to figure out what the hell to do because I didn't have any place to stay.
Yeah.
And he took pity on me. And he said, get your suitcase, whatever. He took me to this restaurant, which was the restaurant on the, you know, in the French Riviera, where all the swells went, very pricey. Like Picasso would go there and doodle on a napkin. That's how he'd pay his thing.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those kind of places. And so he arranged for me to have one meal a day free at this hotel. And he arranged for me to stay above the restaurant in a room.
Wow.
I mean, he was just the nicest guy you could ever want to meet and didn't want nothing from me.
Now, how long did you get to stay for?
That was, I think, about a week.
So you stayed for so did you get to see any of the films too?
Yeah, yeah. I did. Le Siffle au Coeur, which was kind of a shocking film. I got to hang out with the two young actors. It was a case where these two young boys were together with this, who is the actress? So famous. French actress. She was already probably in her 50s or 60s, so I can't think of the name now.
Mm-hmm.
But the film was with her and these two young actors, and I got to hang out with the two actors. We were on a boat, somebody's yacht, and the Souffle au Coeur, I forget how it translates, but these guys were, you know, being together. I mean, it was very racy, mm-hmm. you know, two young boys.
Right, right. Yeah, well, now it's commonplace. From 1970,
I didn't even know what it was. And, Claudia, who was the actress? Catherine Deneuve.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking royalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of French actresses. So, yeah, I mean, the whole time down there. And the other thing that was nuts was that I ended up at the Cannes Festival by default, because I was actually going to Mick Jagger and his wedding with the Nicaraguan woman who was so gorgeous. What was her name? Anyway, I was on the train and I didn't have the tickets, so I hid in the bathroom, and I ended up, the train went on way, and I ended up in Cannes at the film festival.
It says he met Nicaraguan Bianca,
yeah,
Macias.
Well, Bianca Jagger, yeah.
Yeah,
she
That's
was.
That's easier, Bianca
she,
Jagger.
She was beyond gorgeous, and I actually had bought a special dress to go to this wedding. I wasn't invited. But I was nuts
You were one of the original wedding crashes.
I was. But I didn't get to their wedding because I ended up in Cannes. And at their one-year anniversary, I was back in London, and I sent a dozen red roses to Mick Jagger, and I sent it in a cab.
Yeah.
I was nuts. Yeah. I really did some nuts.
You said roses in a cab?
Yeah, to Mick Jagger.
Did they get to him?
I have no idea.
No? No? Did you put a note?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I said. But I was always doing these.
So
like,
if you ever get sick of Bianca, call me up.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
No?
No. I met Mick at the Chalk Farm Tube Station at the Roundhouse. Mm-hmm. They were performing, and I was going to another concert. I was going to hear something entirely else, and I got in a line, and I got, it was one of these crazy things, and I got pushed into it. I didn't have a ticket, mm-hmm. and everybody was killing to get into this concert. And I ended up backstage, scared to death, because I didn't belong there, and I was tripping on ass. So I end up being in this backstage area, and that's how I met Mick. Mm-hmm. And everybody's passing around joints and stuff, and Mick was like, you look at him, he was, I mean,
you said he was striking, right?
He was a trip. Yeah. He was a trip. There are a few people I've met. I would say the three people was Sly Stone, Mick Jagger, and Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
All of them were like aliens from another planet.
Yeah.
Because they're
just all the charisma and energy.
Yeah. So, yeah. I got thrown out of that dressing room, evicted. I felt like, and I'm tripping, right?
Right.
So I felt like I was, you know, thrown into the wolves.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I ended up going on the stage, across the stage. That's how I ended up backstage.
Mm-hmm.
I crossed the stage, and Chip Monk was the road manager, and he didn't know what, I was a fly in the ointment. You know, mm-hmm, get the hell out of here.
His name was Chip Monk?
Yeah, Chip Monk. Yeah. Oh my God, you're bringing up, my crazy histoire.
There's some great memories, great stories.
Yeah.
I met Yoko Ono at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995.
Wow.
But I wish John were there.
Yeah, of course. Don't we all?
But she was very nice, very charming.
Yeah.
Said hello, shook my hand.
Very nice.
That was
cool.
About it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was on the red carpet, and people were coming in, and I, you know, got to see everybody at once. All the legends too, like Little Richard and Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis and John Mellencamp and Bon Jovi and Lou Reed and Iggy Pop.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that was like the first time that they had opened up the actual hall and had the
had like an eight hour concert.
Or it was actually longer than that. I think it was about 10 hours. And I finally went because I couldn't get in the first round because it was only open to the artists and their families and friends. And but I got to see the concert, and I was on my way back from California, and that was the last big thing to do, was to stop there, and I got to meet everybody, which is nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
I finally went for the first time, and it was okay. I mean, I thought it would be so much better because I think it was because the wait was so long, but after 22 years, I finally got out to see it in the summertime, and it was fun. I took the train out, and that's when I took my little train trip over the summer and went out to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and saw Midnight Oil while I was there, which was great.
Fantastic.
I figured if they could come all the way from Australia, I can go out to Cleveland to see them.
You're adventurous, you know, to go. I mean, I was living in these different places. I guess I was adventurous in those days,
mm-hmm.
much more so than now. I've sort of stuck in a place and not going much of anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you had some adventures, though.
Oh, I did.
I'm at that point, too, where it's like I like to stay centered now.
Yeah.
I get afraid to go on adventures now. I get a little worried. Before I was never worried, but now I'm worried.
I had an attitude that if I wanted to be somewhere, there was nothing in hell that was going to stop me.
Yeah.
I just didn't care.
Yeah.
And when I think about it as an artist, now people are afraid of people being nuts and, you know, screwing up their set. There was a thing I saw online of Bob Dylan playing somewhere, and all these women and men are coming up on the stage, mm-hmm. and he's still playing, and they're kissing him, and they're taking his hand. I went, holy Talala.
Yeah, and it's like he can't even finish a song.
I know, and he was loving it. I would have thought he would have had his roadies get everybody the hell out of there, but whatever it was, he was grooving along with it. It was crazy.
That's all right. If people are relatively respectful, if they're not completely messing up the song for everybody.
Two of the women were like practically grinding on him. And the guy, somebody said afterwards, you know, who wonders who he gave his room key to or his number.
Yeah.
So it was somewhere out in the Midwest that this took place. And it was probably, I don't know, in 1980 something or other or 70. I don't know when the hell it was. But, you know,
Yeah, when I went to see The Time last summer, Moore's Day, and they invited some people out on the stage, and it was really fun, but then all of a sudden this one girl, oh my God, she just kept on grabbing him.
Yeah.
And they eventually, you know, the security was basically the guy on, it was part of the group. He plays the valet, and he had to keep on going up and grabbing her hands. And he said, don't touch him. He's performing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few thousand people out there. It's
right.
Like, hold it back.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
So you want to hear a Beatles song?
I do.
What would you like to hear?
Well, you know, what you were playing before, it was just bringing me back to when I was in college. I was hearing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So how about, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Sure. Yeah, I'll get that on for you. Lucy in the Sky.
Yeah.
With Diamonds from Sgt. Pepper. All right. And there's Joyce the Voice. Sticking around, you can listen to Joyce the Voice 3 to 5 every Wednesday night with the Voice Mobile. How long you been doing the Voice Mobile, Joyce?
Well, you know, I started here in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have my own show, right away. I was filling in for other people doing jazz, and then doing became world music.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a couple years into it that I started doing what became the Voice Mobile. I don't remember exactly what. I'd have to look at my logs.
Yeah.
But it's a long time now. They asked me how many semesters. I don't even know. I put 54. Yeah. I mean, go count them.
It's like three for every year.
Yeah.
So it's like three, and those, what, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm 10 years next month. Well, in March. March 11th is 10 years of time travel.
Yeah.
Official time travel. And I did the same thing. I jumped around on a few people's shows. You know, I've been looking at other places, and I applied for a couple of things, but we'll see what happens. I think WMFO is a great place to be. But I really want to try to keep the same format and do my thing. That's the problem of going somewhere else.
Right, exactly. But, we do have a lot of freedom here.
But yeah, the production aspect of it might be the next thing for Chris Earle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've been enjoying looking into some other things to do and learning some new stuff. So we'll see. But Griswold, thanks for sticking around telling the story. I'm going to get Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds on for you.
Well, thanks for asking.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Most people could give it a fly, you know what?
It's always great.
But hearing your stories are cool, too. The thing is, you enjoy it because you've got your own experiences.
I got a few.
You've got a few, I know. Because we could trade stories a lot.
I know.
I just haven't been willing to stay around because I'm usually so swunked.
Good rock and roll stories.
Yeah.
It's WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Thanks for listening. Time Travel's here with you till 7 p.m.
Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope people eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you. Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
a train in a station with plasticine pauses with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile, the girl with kaleidoscope
that John finally got just after that, then we'll do both of the do what you want to do, 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 do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. I'll pretend that I'm missing the lips I'm missing and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you.
Someday, a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong, they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
of accidents, he always took his mom.
He's the all-American bullet-headed Saxon mother's son.
All the children sing,
hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill, hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill.
Deep in the jungle where the mighty tiger lies, Bill and his elephants were taken by surprise.
So Captain Marvel zapped him right between the eyes.
All the children sing,
hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill, hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill.
The children asked him if to kill was not a sin.
Not when he looked so fierce,
his mommy butted in.
Could kill, it would have been us instead of him.
All the children sing,
hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill, hey, Bungalow Bill, was it your kill?
WMFO Medford, Massachusetts. It's Time Travel with Chris Earle, here with you till 7 p.m. All Beatles this week.
Lifted his homie.
easy, 'cause I know I've imagined I'm in love with you many, many, many times before. It's not like me to pretend, but I'll get you in the end. Yes, I will, I'll get you in the end. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I think about you night and day. I need you and it's true. When I think about you, I can say I'm never, 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 never blue. So I'm telling you, my friend, that I'll get you in the end. Yes, I will, I'll get you in the end. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, there's gonna be a time when I'm gonna change your mind. So you might as well resign yourself to me. Oh yeah. Imagine I'm in love with you. It's easy, 'cause I know I've imagined I'm in love with you many, many, many times before. It's not like me.